Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable unto you, O Lord our God. The bulletin you have before you and the hymns we will sing later today use the words thankful, thanks, or thanksgiving 34 times by my count. It's pretty hard to miss the point and theme of this morning's worship, as you can well see, thanksgiving. I like it that we are celebrating Thanksgiving together here within our church family today. Youngsters later will be lectors and readers, with parents and grandparents watching proudly by. And all the rest of us are aunts and uncles and cousins and moms and dads and grand or great-grand something to some people here and elsewhere. We are that visible cloud of witnesses surrounding each other with love, concern, and service. Yesterday at the diocesan convention, keynote speaker Ray Suarez explained that on Sundays, we are here together to be, above all things, gathered in the presence of our loving God in the person of Jesus Christ. We have come, like that old revival hymn says, just as I am. We are here to practice what we believe, to do the talk and walk the walk. With all our faith, as well as our doubts, our communion with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and our communion with one another strengthens and shapes our identity as Christians of the Episcopal procession. We are more than a club of nice people, as Ray Suarez says. The principal service of worship in the Episcopal Church is the Eucharist. Sometimes it's called Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, or the Mass. Every Christian community celebrates it in some fashion. We prefer the word Eucharist, which comes from the early church. The early church's most common language was Koine Greek, which is a little bit different from modern spoken Greek. And wouldn't you know, can you guess, Eucharista means thanksgiving. What a surprise. I'm sure the common greeting among us over the next few days will be Happy Thanksgiving. Some years ago, when translators were bringing the Bible translations into contemporary English usage, they translated the familiar word blessed into happy instead of blessed. They were trying to make a connection between happiness as the outcome of acknowledging and receiving blessings. So in a way, when we say Happy Thanksgiving or even Happy Birthday, we are admitting as well as evoking a prayer to God for a blessing. Genuine gratitude for blessings can induce, I believe, a state of euphoria or well-being. When we've done something good and generous and kind and without any sense of reward, we feel good about it. We might say then, God is in his heaven and all is well. It is a satisfying feeling, just like we get after enjoying good food and fellowship here and one day this week. Ancient people who were the Bible's original audience, knew that there was something miraculous about the production of crops to feed humans and animals. So did our early American forebears, both Native American and the Pilgrim refugees, whose stories we tell at Thanksgiving. People did the work, sure, but God gave the growth. Having an attitude of gratitude is a transforming spiritual experience. It puts you in the right frame of mind. Gratitude, thankfulness, is like putting on those rose-colored glasses It lets you see things as elevated possibilities and filled with splendid potential. You are assured in the belief that God is doing more for us than we can ask or imagine. With joy in our hearts, we are open to limitless imagining and the desire to transform ourselves and the whole world into the magnificent place God wants it to be. The United Society of Believers in Christ's Second Coming, more commonly known as the Shakers, were a 19th century utopian, millennium restorationist religious cult. They were noted for their innovative farming techniques, for furniture and household crafts. Simplicity in dress, manner, and conduct were expressions of their utter and complete confidence in God's providence. We know the beautiful song, "'Tis a Gift to be Simple," which has that haunting American folk tune, in which they courageously stated their trust and thanks in God. Although puritanical and zealous in their practices, strangely, they accepted dancing as a sign of spiritual blessing and fervor. Caught up in the Holy Spirit like whirling dervishes, they would shake and dance as they meditated and prayed for God's guidance. Guidance. We all need, we all seek it. Let's take a look at that word for just a minute. Take it apart. The first half, of course, is guide. Jesus said he was the way, a person who shows and advises others along the way. It is also a thing that helps someone to form an opinion or make a decision or calculate something and understand it, like the Bible, the Book of Common Prayer, indeed all of our educational devices. A guide is also a structure or making something which makes the directions or motions or positioning of something clearer to someone. I think of a steeple or a tower or some kind of signage. But the last half of the word, D-A-N-C-E, dance, guide dance, a series of movements, a sequence of steps, an activity which moves the body in graceful, seemingly art form. Imagine if we felt like dancing when we worship, to feel so at ease, so assured, happy and secure, sparkling brightly with pleasure, and filled with peace, gratitude, and thanksgiving. There's a song written in the last century called "The Lord of the Dance." And in that song, Jesus speaks of his whole life and ministry as a dance. Come, let us dance with the Lord. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.